This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Andy Baskin. He's kind of cute. I'm Jeff Phelps.
Way over the line. Very awkward.
Oh, no. You take that as a compliment immediately.
Dan, you remember those big plastic shields we had in here during COVID? Can we please get those back right after
Jeff's
COVID?
Drum cage?
Yeah, right over here.
Can we get those back up, please?
Thank you. Felt like I was just drumming away. Those were beneficial.
Compliments as such don't come around very often, my friend. I would take that as a compliment.
I should take it, especially after listening to evil Jeff Phelps earlier today?
I would very much take that as a compliment.
What are you saying, evil?
You were evil Jeff Phelps on that one guy. You were. Like a different person. We like evil Jeff Phelps. I'm not going to lie.
Do you?
We love it. Yeah, it's when you say something to Jeff Phelps that there's only two ways to get it. One, you have to come after him personally in a phone call. And then two, it's...
Yeah, don't do that. That's no fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. That's not who Jeff is. Me, I'm a different story. Like, you know, I'll go ballistic anytime. So.
Sure.
The other time is when you say... My favorite thing is to say something like... So, Jeff, what you're trying to say or what you're saying is, and then you're like, no, I just said what I said. Didn't you listen to me?
I don't think I yell like that.
Dan, close.
I get to the point, though.
No, he doesn't really yell. He gets a little louder and then...
It's a volume control thing?
Yeah, he's
got more tension. A little more tension in the voice.
A little more tension, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little more tension in the voice. It's not a bad way to do it.
I'd like to have like maybe three or four phone calls. Just, you know, just say something, you know, drive Jeff crazy. Like right now.
That's great.
Just watch him... unravel here on the air on a Browns Therapy Monday, and then you can call in and you can settle him down on a Monday. That'd be great.
Why are you fishing for grumpiness?
I'm actually not. I'm just so blah over the Browns game yesterday, and I don't want to start the
and we didn't
here we go
get,
with the draft.
And we didn't want to go like big Browns Therapy Monday today. Because
but it is.
Well, the bye week kind of is like, all right, let's reset here and see where we are and assess where things are. Especially when your bye week is right in the middle of the season. I mean,
it could have been such a great thing.
You're more than halfway through this season, and you're 2-7. 2-7.
What are we playing for, Jeff?
Playing right now, nothing.
Playing for tape.
You know,
playing to represent the good people of Northeast Ohio by beating Pittsburgh twice.
Yeah, you know, the draft guy in me wants to say, "Hey, lose as many games as possible, get as high a pick as possible." That's no fun.
It's such a loser's mentality.
Exactly. That's no fun. Who wants to do that?
Yeah.
And you have some veterans on this team. We're still trying to win football games. Going to be trying to win football games. That's a good thing. It's just that I truly think that there's some reassessing that needs to be done with many aspects of this team. You know, I look at other teams and I see... And they just keep throwing skill position talent at you. And I'll give the Browns wide receivers credit. With Jameis Winston throwing the ball to them the last couple of games, they've looked better. I wonder if that's enough. You know, look at Green Bay, the amount of investment that Green Bay has thrown into wide receivers. And look at Cincinnati, the amount that Cincinnati threw into wide receivers. You know, they running backs, and like Detroit signed David Montgomery. Then what did they do? A month or two later, drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. Wow, okay. Right. And they got lucky. You know, they drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown after I think it was the Browns took Anthony Schwartz. You know, it's... You can't have enough skill position talent in this league. I truly believe that. And I don't think the Browns have enough. Even with the wide receivers stepping up a little bit, I'm curious to see what's going to happen here. I really like the looks of Cedric Tillman in these last three games. He's been outstanding, Andy. But you're going to take that to the bank and think that Sed's your number one wide receiver, number two wide receiver? I think maybe you could if by the end of this year. But let's, you know, let's see what he does the rest of the way. But I like what I've seen so far. What? Jerry Jeudy, he's been better. Elijah Moore, hit or miss here in the last couple of games.
We never really hit this at the beginning of the show, and we started to go there, and we never got there.
How'd you derail us?
Well, you did, actually. Do you think what?
No. Lunch?
Lunch? Oh, are you getting lunch?
No, I thought that's where you were going. We never addressed lunch. We should have.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing for lunch?
Again? We dropped the ball on that one.
I missed that.
I don't know. Something good?
Remember when Dan used to do the sprint over to the pizza place, and he would come back and bring his pizzas? That guy's gone. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it.
He's gone. Long gone. Those were the good old days, weren't they? When you could force, well, you weren't an intern, but you could force an intern to go get you lunch, and it was not a big deal, and they expected it to get coffee and stuff like that. But going back to my bigger question.
We have HR departments now.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was the guy that always had to go get coffee, by the way.
It was my gig.
Yeah, I mean, we were good at it. But maybe we should have stuck with that. We would have had a successful career.
We had something, and we busted out of it.
We probably would own like a million shops right now if we did that. But my bigger point is, do you think the Browns are going to try to make some kind of major move before tomorrow at 5?
My gut tells me that something is going to happen other than just, say, trading Za'Darius Smith.
You're saying, like, staffing?
I think something bigger than that's going to happen. I could be completely wrong. I just sit here and I'm thinking.
I just don't understand. What does that mean?
It could mean front office. It could mean coaching staff. It could mean player who we don't expect to be traded.
I just don't see it. I think
at two and seven, halfway through the season, why? If you think something's not working, well, change it now.
I never once thought the Browns would be buyers at the trade deadline, even walking into the season. Like, I never thought that they'd be a team, unless they had like an injury or wide receiver where they thought maybe they can go out and get one good player. And Daryl reminded me of this about 1,000 times yesterday while we were doing the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland postgame hit. That
click, click, click.
This isn't baseball. Right? This isn't baseball. This isn't basketball.
Where trading one guy makes a huge difference in your team.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not. Yeah. It's football. And
the only guy who could make a huge difference in your team plays the quarterback position.
That's it. That's all. And who's bringing in a quarterback midseason to get them to the playoffs? If you're bringing a quarterback in midseason and you're trying to salvage a season that's kind of mid.
Your quarterback either got hurt or you don't have one, and you're throwing a dart at a dartboard, hoping you find a guy who might be your quarterback next year.
And you really don't feel good about your backup. That's the other thing, too. You can't feel good about your backup. Because why'd you bring him in the first place?
I'd agree.
So, I don't see them doing anything major. Like, my expectations are very low as far as trading guys. I think they are so handcuffed by this Deshaun Watson contract that it's going to be difficult for them to do anything. Outside, they're not going to be able to do anything outside of a guy who's on the last year of his deal. I just don't see it.
I wonder. You tell me. I think the answer to this is no. Do you think there's any team in the NFL that would think, you know what, we might be able to fix him, and we have some salary we'd send back your way if you send us Deshaun and a
first rounder,
second rounder, second and third.
I think that's their goal. That might be one of their goals for the offseason. I mean, if you're trying to figure out, let him get through surgery, let him start to throw the football around again if you're thinking about trading him. And if you think the right thing to do is try to, I don't know, how many first round picks do you think you'd have to give up to get someone to take on this contract? I think
one.
It's higher too.
Menigan says more.
Yeah, higher.
Multiple first-round picks to get rid of a guy.
Yes.
If it's going to be the worst trade in NFL history, well, let's make it the absolute worst trade in NFL history.
You had to pay to get him and pay to get rid of him.
Two.
To take that contract alone, yes. And the idea that you would then have to turn around and pay him if you were that team, it might be two. Yeah, I don't think you could get, because you got to think the Brock Osweiler deal that the Browns made, right?
Right.
Remember where they traded for Brock Osweiler?
Who should have started.
Right. And
who absolutely looked like the best quarterback that year in the preseason. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But on top of that one, though, what they basically, it was Brock Osweiler and a second round pick, right?
Yeah.
That's basically
yeah.
what it was. So that contract was pretty crummy, and that was a second round pick. So a contract that's super crummy, I think,
right.
would have to probably be a first and maybe more.
Okay, humor me here.
Okay.
Especially because I think Brock was 1 year.
Humor me
yeah,
here.
He was.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this.
I liked him. There were some bad people.
Paul,
were some,
I don't think this works.
There were people that said bad things about him. I never once saw that. Bad okay. teammate, didn't see that once. I remember we were in Green Bay for
Paul,
a preseason game. Yeah. Keep going.
Tell me if this is anything. The Atlanta Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins as a free agent. Gave him a 4-year contract worth $180 million. He has 3 years to go on that contract.
Okay.
And it's a big contract. $180 million, $100 million in guarantees. I don't know if the logistics work on this. Then they drafted Michael Penix in the first round. And Kirk Cousins came out and said, well, Minnesota never did me like Atlanta did. after he already was in Atlanta now.
Yeah.
Is something like this feasible? You trade Deshaun, and he's from Georgia. You trade Deshaun to the Falcons and attach a number one
okay.
and get Kirk Cousins.
Again, the dead cap kills you next year, right? Is that right?
So the dead cap would kill you. The other part
because,
of it,
because of the trade, the dead cap would kill you just by trading him.
Right.
The salaries don't equal that out and cancel some of that out.
But the other
I'll readily admit I don't get
no,
all the
you're
cap
fine.
Stuff.
So the dead cap hit would take place on those, and it'd be pretty nasty. The other side of that, too, is Kirk Cousins' contract has no guaranteed money in it after 2026. So basically what they're telling you by drafting Michael Penix is we're never going to be this high again, so let's get our dude for the future. And in that way, if they think Penix is the dude for the future in 26, they can cut him, and it's not the end of the world.
So in other words, you're telling me forget about that one.
It's a great idea until you look at the schematics of it all, or semantics, or whichever one it is.
Interesting.
I don't know.
We're going to get more into Browns talk in a little bit. Back-to-back, Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers, his team is struggling. Kenny Atkinson's team isn't. Next on Baskin and Phelps.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.